The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You haven't done a tap. You leave everything to last minute. I told you this would happen. I can't do the exam for you, Oisin. Have you covered Shakespeare?
No, it was on the exam last year. It's not going to be on again this year.
My God, he's leaving it to chance. When I was a girl, I used to love studying. Recalcitrant. Recalcitrant, that's a great word you could use for the essay.
Mum.
Recalcitrant.
Mum.
All right.
Mum. No, stop. Just, what are you doing?
I'm trying to help you, Oisin.
A familiar scene from many households as we run into the leaving and junior cert examinations. A record number of students, 140,000, will take those state exams. Most of us can still remember our own stresses when we sat those exams. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Eric Nelligan, assistant principal at St. Munchan's College, and also Jen Hogan, a journalist and mother of seven, who has a child sitting the leaving cert this morning. We'll say hello to you, Jen, first of all, before we get relevant advice from Eric. But Jen, how was it this morning?
Good morning, Pat. Yeah, it was good. He was considerably calmer than his mother, so that was a good start. I was doing my best acting. I'm laughing at that video or that sound piece you just played there a minute ago, because last night it was the same thing going on between myself and another mother, going, well, we can't do it for them. We can't. We have to let them do it. You know, we can support. We can offer our advice, but we can't do it for them. And there was it just seemed very similar and familiar as you played that there. But he was fairly chilled heading in this morning. He was fairly relaxed. He likes English, so it was a good subject for him to start with. But I think it's really hard for us as parents, because I think we go back in time. We go back to doing our own leaving cert. We remember that stress, but this time there's so much less control because we actually can't do it for them. And it really is that case of trying not to project your stresses onto them.
Yeah, because often you have the situation where the leaving cert students say, I'm okay. I've got it, Mom. I've got it. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be the other way around. The mother saying to the son, you've got it, son. You're great.
Absolutely. We should never have a situation that they're having to reassure us. And I think that can happen after the exams as well. We can be guilty of knowing what maybe they were hoping to come up and asking them, did it come up? But did you handle it okay? And did you get everything finished? And are you happy how you answered it? And did you remember to include that? And all we're doing is piling on the anxiety and the stress and adding to the whole post-mortem process that happens afterwards and helps absolutely nobody. So there's a real responsibility on parents to try and keep themselves in check. Of course, we want them to do well. We want them to be happy in how they get on. We don't want them to be disappointed come August. We feel for them. They're important to us. We want everything to go as smoothly as it can, but we cannot project our anxieties onto them, and we cannot be part of the problem. We cannot give them something else to worry about. Oh God, I better keep Mum and Dad reassured here too.
Now, you are a veteran of this process. Two have already gone through the leaving cert, and now you're on your third. So can you detect differences in the way the students and indeed you as a parent behaved from the first leaving cert to the second to the third?
Absolutely. I think the first child for everyone is the guinea pig. God love them. You're definitely much more stressed, much more worried. Maybe you have a stronger belief that you can do something that's going to impact things more, and that your role is to be motivator and feeder and dropper and collector and reassurer, and as if you can some way influence what's going to come up in the exams. And you can do all those things, which are really helpful. You know, you can be there to support them in all those different ways. But I do think we're probably somewhat guided, and I certainly was guided by, first of all, going through it the first time. You're a novice, you're trying to work out what's the best way to support them. But secondly, we need to react, and we do tend to react to how our own child is getting on and how they're reacting to it, because there's such a difference, and I've seen such a difference across the three who've done it so far. Some got incredibly wound up and were very stressed and like to the point of tears going into exams, and others are horizontal and both bringing their own stresses as an observer, because you're sitting there going, well, if he's not getting wound up, I better get wound up.
Now, there was a time, Jen, when the junior cert was the last exam that some people would do, and then they'd go out into apprenticeship or the workforce even. That's changed. So how do the junior cert kids approach that exam? I mean, do they take it seriously at all?
Well, I suppose kind of the junior cycle, the way it's changed means I think a lot of students are an awful lot more comfortable approaching it, but it still does depend on the child. You'll have some kids who get very wound up, but I think a lot of children will be very relaxed. I have a huge amount of parents contacted me over the last few weeks, just chatting about their students and how they were getting on and the constant thing that came up. And there are, of course, some students who this will be their final exam and they'll move forward into apprenticeships. So, I mean, it certainly has an important role in that regard, but it is something that the students, I suppose, now view perhaps as not being quite so important. And so you have parents getting on going, he's nuts. He's like, he's doing nothing or she's doing nothing. And she seems very relaxed about the whole thing. And they're equating it back to their own experience of the junior cert, perhaps. I'm wondering why they're not taking it more seriously. But it's not that. I think perhaps there's a better understanding of the role that it plays. And we as parents, again, it comes back to us trying to understand, you know, we help, support, we motivate, we even maybe give a bit of guidance where we can. But it's, you know, it is true. Yeah. We cannot do it for them. And it is, Jen, a great experience to
Jen,
try it out.
For the junior cert, for some schools, they use that for streaming purposes for the senior cycle. So sometimes there are things at stake.
There are, but look, parents can, I mean, I'm a great believer in parents can influence that. You know, if somebody doesn't do particularly well in the junior cycle and still wants to take an exam at a higher level, a discussion with the school can take place and there can be an understanding, okay, it didn't go well for junior cycle, but that doesn't mean it's not herself or himself couldn't actually manage to sit this subject at a higher level for the leaving cert. So I think parents have more influence here than they realise and those discussions can still take place. So yes, I think our students hear that and they definitely hear that, that it's important and it's a guide there, but it's not the be all and end all in terms of what they can go on to do. It's great practice. It's a great opportunity to see what it's like to sit a state exam in those settings. And also, look, it's motivation. You've done 3 years worth of work. It's great to see what you can produce at the end of it. It doesn't feel great at the time, but that's
I suppose the big dress rehearsal is that you become a number, not a person when you're doing that exam. It's completely anonymized, which is probably a good thing for kids to experience because all the way through college, that's going to be the case. Now, finally, I mean, you've seven children. I'm sure some of them may not be, you know, around the home that much, given they've moved on. But when I was growing up, we were a household of five kids. And it could be a bit chaotic and trying to keep order when someone's trying to study somewhere and others want to listen to their music or whatever. So do you have rules for the house during exam time?
Yeah, our timing was great this week. Not because of the bank holiday, the primary school children had a couple of days off in addition to the bank holiday. So it was fairly noisy and busy. And I suppose it's, again, trying to remind the teens that their brother is doing the exam, doing their leaving cert, the younger guys, that this is a big exam. They've seen it as well. They've seen it with older siblings. They know it's important to kind of cut the leaving cert or the junior cycle student a bit of cut them a bit of slack, maybe explain why this is why you're doing the dishwasher instead of doing the dishwasher and trying to create that little bit of calm and quiet that you can in the house. Now, we're like a train station at the best of times. There's so many people coming and going and there are so many people there. And I suppose my kids have grown up in that environment. So they're used to a certain amount of noise, or at least that's what I have to console myself with. But yeah, having those conversations with the siblings, reminding them, look, we're all going to try and get behind your brother and, you know, help them as best we can by being quiet, by maybe not disturbing him, by giving him the chance to study, by doing a couple of the things that he might have done, by all being maybe a little bit calm and reminding them it's for a short amount of time. And listen, some of that will stick and some of it they'll just get on with life and it'll all be grand.
Well, the best of luck to him and to all the others who are doing English Paper 1 just at the moment. Jen, thank you very much for joining us. That's Jen Hogan, mother of seven, one of whom is doing the Leaving Cert this morning. Now, Eric Nelligan, assistant principal at St. Munchan's College. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. I must say, Jen, they really articulated what most parents are feeling out here this morning. She described it really well, didn't she?
Now, she did. So we therefore will concentrate on the exam itself with you, Eric, if you don't mind. You make the point that examiners want to give you marks. They're not trying to thwart you. They're actually doing the best they can to maximise you. Is that so?
You're 100% correct. Look, I also work with the State Exams Commission as part of my teaching role. And for the last 2 weeks while we've been preparing for this exam, the message coming out is that we want to give students exam marks. We want to give them we want to get them the best result possible. And the key is, if there's nothing on the page, you can't give them anything. If there's something on the page, you can start giving them marks. So the number one thing for any parents listening here who might have dropped their son or daughter to the exam in the last half an hour, encourage them to write and answer every question. So that's the key. You write stuff, you get marks, you let a blank page, you get nothing. And I know we notice that the students that fail the exam are the students that don't answer questions or don't submit work.
Now, you suggest using a mind map before you answer a question. Yeah. In other words, you read the question and you have to be careful about that. You know, let's presume you understand it. We'll talk about not understanding it in a moment. But if you do understand the question, and then the idea, before you start formulating an answer, you do a mind map on your scratch paper, noting literally everything that springs to mind as soon as you see the question.
Yes, that's exactly it. So what I would recommend is when the student has the answer booklet, they only write on one side of the page. And that way then on the opposite side, they can do a mind map, they can write down any notes. You know the way sometimes you're formulating an answer and a thought comes to your mind, but that's not the appropriate place to put it into. You can write on that page and transfer it across. So what you're doing on that scratch page or that kind of mind map page is you're putting down information as it comes to you, and the examiner can take note of that. And even if you don't put it into the actual answer in the end, if it's relevant, you get marks for it. So that's a really good way of firing down information no matter when it comes to you. And the examiner will give you credit for that as they're correcting the proper answer on the opposite side of the page. So yes, that would be a key one, especially for descriptive subjects like language subjects and English and Irish, where you're writing essays and things like that, or you're writing a big long geography answer or a history answer.
Now, you look at the question and you have no idea what it means. So what do you do? And this might be a question you feel you have to answer, even though you haven't a clue. So what do you do when you don't understand the question?
Well, the first thing you do is make sure your son or daughter brings a highlighter into the exam with them. And as you're reading through the question, you highlight what the keywords are. And then on your mind map page, you write down the keywords, and then you try and bring some information you have around those keywords onto your planning page. And then you'll see once information starts going down, a kind of an answer will start to formulate. And you try and describe it as best you can after that then. But that's the key. Put down the keywords, because the examiner is given, the marks go for what the keywords are. Mm-hmm. So if you can start answering around the keywords, putting any information that's relevant to those keywords, you can start building up marks. And that's what it's about. And you're looking at making sure that you answer every part. You should always start with your strongest question. So read the whole test. Pick your strongest question first, no matter if it's question one or question six or whatever number it is. Start with that. Try and build up confidence. And if, as you said, things will start going bad and if you start panicking a bit, just put down your pencil, close your eyes, count to 20, give yourself a bit of breathing. Just kind of think of a song that you like, or put yourself in a happy place for 30 seconds and try and relax, and then head back into it. Yeah. Because if your child has been in school for the last 2 years or been mostly in school, they will have the information in their head. It's just a matter of getting as much of it out as they can and formulating.
Now, you know the situation, Eric, where you've still a half an hour to go in the exam, and then the person next to you puts down their pen and off they go, hand up the exam paper. And that can be, either you can look at them and say, they know shag all, that's why they're leaving, or that's a SWAT, they know everything and they've done the paper and here am I struggling.
Yeah, well, look, it's rare that, as we say, the SWAT would leave early. It's very rare, because the inverted commas SWAT person, they know how to plan their test. They're really quite logical and quite organized. And they plan everything, they have the time sorted. So one of the key things as well is have your time. Before you go into the exam, you should know what each question is worth in terms of marks and what proportion of time you should spend on that. So for instance, if the total exam is 200 marks and if a question is worth 50 of those 200 marks, that's worth a quarter of the exam. So you know, you should have that in your head. You should have all these, the good students, the students that succeed, have all this type of stuff in their head. But the key is stay in for the whole exam. And if you've extra time, if you've half an hour left at the end and you've everything answered and you're happy with it, maybe try a spare extra question. Otherwise, what you can do is you can go back, and on that spare page that you skipped on the side, you can write down more notes. You might be able to further expand on what you've already done, and just put an arrow pointing in where you want
include
to
include this.
And
remember,
So while you won't get full marks for that, because you're still building up the amount of marks you have. Do you know what I mean? So what you want to do is keep building. And like I said at the very start, as a state examiner, we want to give you marks. We don't want people failing. Because the people that fail will be the people that left blank pages. So you write stuff that's relevant. I promise you will do well, or you'll do okay, or in some hopefully you'll even do excellent.
Eric Nelligan, Assistant Principal at St. Munchin's College. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, we've got something relevant to the Leaving Cert now. Wineport Lodge, which is a chic boutique lodge on Loch Ree, is the perfect place to unwind with family and friends. You can enjoy all the Wineport has to offer, from dining in their famed restaurant, relaxing in Cedarwood Spa in the luxury Lakeshore Lodge. Check it all out at wineport.ie. So our prize, a daily prize, two nights stay with breakfast on both mornings, dinner on an evening of your choice, plus the use of relaxing hot tubs and sauna. To be in with the chance to win, given the Leaving Cert starts today, we want you to answer a Leaving Cert question today. It's geography. So is this true or false? Lava with a high silica content is most associated with explosive eruptions. Lava with a high silica content is most associated with explosive eruptions. True or false? If you know the answer, text the word STAY with your answer name to us now, 52106, at a cost of 30 cents.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.